Well, my cynical answer is human stupidity. First of all, climate changes all the time. Climate is not a static thing. I mean, we reconstruct climate back for millions of years, and many things influence climate. Where the continents are shaped, I mean, they've been moving around for millions of years. The orbit around the sun, the axis of the Earth. I mean, there's many, many things which influence climate. But probably one of the strongest drivers is what we call the greenhouse gases. I mean, there's a reason why on the moon, when the sun goes down, the temperature drops to 400 below zero at night, is because there's no atmosphere. And when the sun goes down here, it might drop to 20 degrees above zero, because we have an atmosphere which shields us, and particularly certain gases trap the heat, somewhat like a glass in a greenhouse. And if you start putting more and more of those greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, you trap more and more in the heat. It's just basic, simple thermodynamics. There's no way around it. And we've been pumping tremendous amounts of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. And as early as 1890, a Swedish scientist predicted we were going to basically start turning the planet into a greenhouse. And sure enough, the temperatures have been rising steadily and steadily and steadily, so that, sure, you have natural fluctuations and you have warm periods and cold periods, but it's more than a coincidence that the 10 warmest years in recorded history have occurred since 1997.
Let me ask a question, and then we'll talk about something lighter, because I don't want to put you in the spot here to do a lecture to us, which you should be paid much money for. But is the population of the world causing this? Because you look at how we can prevent, and we have to be responsible to our Earth. But in the world population, which keeps expanding at a rapid pace, Is just by the way we populate going to accelerate climate changes or to the greenhouse effects, as you mentioned?
Well, I mean, yeah, more people mean more pollution in the broad sense, but it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, more Americans would be an absolute disaster, because we're 5% of the world's population. We pump in about 25% of the carbon dioxide. Mm. If everyone becomes like Americans, we're headed for an absolute catastrophe. We have to become like more of the rest of the world, who are learning that you have to be energy efficient, you have to use energy wisely. Surely, I mean, there are times and places for fossil fuel and even nuclear. And nuclear can be done right, I believe. But, I mean, we have to use our renewables. We have to use wind. We have to use solar. We're building a new house, and there are going to be solar panels on it. So we can reduce our burdening of the atmosphere with CO2. We have to, because all the CO2 we've put in already is going to take 1,000 years to go away. I mean, so even if we stopped emitting anything, we'd be at our current elevated state, which is very, very dicey.
Well, I recall when I was in school and watching you in the news, you were talking about acid rain before anyone else was, and you were doing reports on acid rain and doing reports on pollution. This is back in the early 80s. So I think that as a population, we're getting better at it. But I would agree with you that we do have a long ways to go to being energy efficient and to taking the Earth for what it is.
But you're absolutely right. Acid rain was a big topic. But guess what? We've controlled the sulfur dioxide emissions from power plants, and acid rain is no longer a major problem. The ozone hole around Antarctica was a terrible problem. We control the release of these perfluorocarbon chemicals, and now the ozone hole over the South Pole is healing. So we can make these problems, but we can also, find ways to prevent them and address them, and that's what we have to do as a society. And it can be done cost-effectively. It's going to require some thinking, some sacrifice, some change in lifestyles, but it can be done. And frankly, it has to be done.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Dr. Walt Lyons and Tom Ryder. This is KLBB 1220. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osman on KLBB. Club 1220, I'm with Tom Ryder, my co-host today, and Dr. Walt Lyons on the phone from Colorado. And Walt and Tom, both of you, I'm sure had a lot of inquiries when you were number one. You were having 58 share ratings to go to bigger cities and different places, and both of you guys took offers to go other places. Tom went to Cleveland, and Walt, tell me a little bit about your story.
Well, I actually turned down the Today Show.
Really?
Yeah. It was interesting. Some guy named Brokaw called me. And first I was so surprised, I wasn't quite sure what to say. But then I said, we want you to come and do the Today Show, blah, blah, blah. But then I just looked around at what I had, you know, with the radar and, you know, the great crew of people we had there. And I said, you know, no, thank you very much. But I just don't think, you know, I can't do what I want to do, which is basically, I mean, I enjoyed doing, you know, the outreach part. I mean, that's really why I was doing the weather, in a sense. It was, mm-hmm. it was scientific education, public outreach, as we call it right now. Because all the time that I was in media, you know, I was working full-time day jobs as a science researcher. So mm-hmm. media was always my night job. And so I was, I was writing papers, doing contracts. I was at the University of Minnesota working at, you know, the aerosol lab there, doing air pollution research, things of this type. So I basically said no. But later we were contacted by WLS in Chicago. And there I kind of had to say yes, because I love Chicago. I mean, it was sort of my second hometown. And it was a chance to get back into, you know, an environment that I knew very well. And so I weighed it very carefully and flipped and flopped in my own mind for quite a while before finally accepting it. So I moved on to WLS for a few years. And as, you know, people like Paul Douglas can tell you, sometimes you go to Chicago and sometimes you come back.
Right.
It's a rough market.
Hey, Walt, you're going to get a kick out of this. When I left for NBC in Cleveland, WKYC, guess who my weather guy was there? Al Roker.
Oh, you're kidding. Really?
That's a fact. He was sort of a beginner. Nice guy.
Yeah.
I used to take the trolley, go out to Shaker Heights, and have dinner with Al and his family. But I've been pretty lucky to work with the likes of you, and Al was a great guy, and of course, Paul Douglas. I've been a lucky guy to have been in your company.
I look back. I mean, I've worked in a number of, you know, television stations over the years, too. And, I mean, I really have to say the KSTP years and the CCO years were just terrific. I mean, you know, people sometimes think, if you're in media, you're all stuck up and, you know, you have a big opinion of yourself. I find that is generally not at all true. I think most people who work in the media sort of understand that they're in a kind of an unusual and special position.
Especially in Minneapolis, we take you guys like as family. So that's, you know, the reason why my website, you know, does what it does, and the reason why we're doing this.
Tom, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Walt Lyons not only knew what he was talking about, he was and still is, I can just tell, a fun guy. I mean, Walt, you were eccentric, but you were funny, and I don't know.
Well,
those were happy years.
Let's listen to some of that humor here, shall we? Let's listen to a clip from CCO in 1985.
Oh, dear.
If you happen to be with us yesterday, perhaps, just perhaps, you remember this brave prediction.
Tomorrow, the color of fall will not be gray around here. It will be blue with some white puffy clouds and a lot of pretty colors on the trees.
Oops,
that's right.
You know, I saved my lunch bag, and I thought maybe, Walt, you might want to wear this, try to live down that forecast.
Well, haven't
put
you
it
heard?
Over the head, you know?
You haven't heard.
Haven't heard what?
The most remarkable thing happened. Yesterday, I took the day off. And, you know, that some guy got in here last night, and we had an imposter doing the weather. This is the most remarkable thing. This is not me. It's a remarkable resemblance. The mustache to Charles Dan a little bit more, though. I don't know who this clown is, but he probably got the forecast out of the Farmer's Almanac, because right here it says today is going to be sunny and warmer. Boy, you know, if you're going to cut in on the show, at least do
your
it
Your twin
right.
brother came and did a wrong forecast. No, Walt, you never gave wrong forecasts out.
Well, I think they were wronger more often then than they would be today. The technology has improved so dramatically that, I mean, people are actually surprised today when the forecast is wrong. So, I mean, there's been some amazing developments in the science since I've been part of it.
Tell me a little bit about the difference between, so you worked in Minneapolis, number one, and you go to Chicago, a great opportunity. Your bosses didn't really want you to leave. They wanted you to stick around for a while, but you go to Chicago. And what was the difference between doing weather here in Minneapolis and Chicago?
That was actually a pretty good weather operation, too, because, you know, John Coleman was there, and he was you know, he'd sort of done a lot of pioneering things in weather presentation, too. So, I mean, I can't say that there was a huge step down in technology, although as part of my contract, I did bring in some toys. We had better radar displays and, you know, lightning detectors and things of that type. So, you know, we tried to bring the technology with us. But it's not, I mean, the people at WLS were wonderful. I mean, Joel Daly, Faye Flynn, names maybe in the Twin Cities they don't recognize, but they're, you know, they're legends in the Chicago area, but it's kind of a tough market. I mean, it's extremely competitive. We had very good people on the other channels. There was a fellow there named Harry Volkman, mm-hmm. who was and is a legend. I mean, he was a meteorologist and very good and extremely likable, very affable person, and love him dearly. And so, I mean, there's a lot of competition. So then the consultants come in, and you know, they don't like the way your mustache curls either, or something like this. And you know, it. Let's put it this way. There's a lot of churning in the talent in the major markets. And whether or not it's all based on your performances is questionable. It's sometimes more what the consultants tell the management they should be doing.
So. Hey, Walt, I have to ask you a question. Was Jeff Hendrickson working for WLS Radio at that time? Does that ring a bell?
Vaguely.
Big, deep voice. Reason I ask that, I hired him for WIBV Radio in Belleville, Illinois. I was driving along one day, and here was Jeff's big booming voice coming out of a station in Highland, Illinois. I drove there, and we brought him to Belleville, and he became a big name for WLS Radio in Chicago. So I didn't know that Walt had moved on to WLS because that was after I left.
Right, right. Yeah. And Walt, you couldn't stay away from Minneapolis too long, so you're back at CCO about 1980?
80, 81, yeah.
And did the weekends there, and talk to me a little bit about that changeover. You'd done, you know, the 5 day a week, you know, evening weather. But I guess from what you've told me, this was your evening job anyway. So you're just working Saturdays and Sundays compared to Monday through Friday.
Yeah, because at that time, you know, I've always been a full time, you know, science researcher and consultant, and we were sort of embarked on a really major project that was putting together the National Lightning Detection Network, which you know, sort of a next generation of that is what you see on TV today. So we had our offices in the Minnesota Supercomputer Center, and I was working, you know, 90-hour weeks. That was Monday through Friday. And then, I still wanted to keep my hand in the media, so, I mean, the weekend was really about all I could do. I just didn't have time to do everything. So I just had a nice 8 day week, basically, is what it boiled down to. So.
And you were at CCO, I think, for 8 years, almost double what you were at Channel 5.
Yeah, 8 years. I finally just said, well, 8 day weeks are getting a little old. So in 1988, basically, we hung it up. And, you know, I miss the people there and I miss doing the job. But I honestly not sure I would want to go back and do more TV at this point.
So you don't miss the camera, the lights, the makeup, the adrenaline that you get before you go on the air?
Well, I'm on the other side of the camera now. I produce science videos, and like I say, we have a royalty-free weather video service, which you know provides imagery for producers and educators and people like that. So I like being, I'm still in the media in a sense. I see a lot of my clips showing up on Discovery Channel and the Weather Channel, things like that. But it's kind of a different aspect of it.
Do you get a lot of contact from people that used to see you here in Minneapolis or Chicago or other markets you worked in?
Yeah, surprisingly. Well, I do get letters from time to time from, you know, people who are, you know, part of our KSTP Weather Observer Network. Do you remember that, Tom?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. That was a forerunner.
Yeah, that was really, we were about the first people, actually, I think the first station that did that on such a major scale. We got about 25 different families from around the, you know, the greater, you know, the metropolitan area there, and they supplied them with equipment, you know, temperature shelters and rain gauges and thermometers, and they called in faithfully every day, you know, with the high and low temperature, the snowfall, the rainfall, and we got that right on the air. And you know, we could show, I remember back when people were talking about the coming of the next ice age, how climate fashions change. This was about 1976, I think that winter was. We could show, you know, right there using our observer network that downtown at KSTP, right there in the Twin Cities, the Minneapolis-St. Paul borderline there, it was 24 below. And that was the warm spot. As you go out, it got to 30 below, 40 below, and up by Stillwater, it's like 59 below. so we could just show right there on the evening newscast what is called the urban heat island. And, you know, that's probably one of the most extreme examples I've ever seen. But,
well, I used to enjoy, you know, when you used to use the radar to find Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. You know, I used to use, you know, the technology to find, you know, where Santa was coming in from. That was a...
You know, Walt's never going to admit this, but one of the highlights of his career, he got to watch me do Bowling for Dollars.
That's right.
You remember that show?
Well, who could forget that?
It was a crazy show, but I tell you what, it had high ratings, that's for sure. I could never figure out why, but it did.
Well, it's a good thing I wasn't on it, because my high game's 122.
Well, that's better than mine.
I keep waiting to find the videos of a cameo from Ron or Walt on Bowling for Dollars, but I've not found it yet.
Yeah, I mean, there are some shows I wish we had. Like, I remember more than a few times Ron Majors would do the show wearing shorts. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, sure. On a hot day. And I, yeah, you couldn't, because they had a full shot on you. I had shorts on many a night, too.
But we tried so many ways to make him have to stand up.
Yeah, right, right.
To expose him to the world. There's a lot going on there.
So much insight we find out on Flashback Twin Cities. So much inside information that now we have this imagery now in our minds now. So I appreciate both of you guys for giving us that. Walt, tell us a little bit about what you're doing. You're doing videos, you're doing consulting, you're doing, you're retired, but it sounds like you have a full-time job.
Yeah, I mean, this retirement stuff is really overrated. Basically, I've been working for the last 20 years on lightning research, but a special kind of lightning. It's called sprites. And actually, there's a Minnesota connection there. Back when I was still at CCO, or just after I left it, I guess, a professor at the University of Minnesota, Professor Jack Winkler, made sort of an inadvertent observation with a sort of a low-light camera, one of these night vision-type cameras, where he saw a gigantic plume of light stretching tens of miles above a thunderstorm. And no one had ever seen that before. No one knew what it was. But, you know, I was also working with NASA, and they were kind of concerned that it would impact the space shuttle. So we got involved in that research, and finally in 1993 out here, once we moved to the prairie where we could really see the thunderstorms hundreds of miles off, we used the same cameras and documented these things occurring from all sorts of storms, and that's actually started a whole new field of science called sprite research, and it's related to lightning, and it's really exciting, and there's new discoveries being made every day. And so that sort of kept me out of trouble and off the streets for the last 20 years.
Well, I'll make sure you're off the streets. And again, so 23 years you have not been in broadcasting, but the last year you were on Channel 4 was a big year here in Minnesota. Again, my guest, Dr. Walt Lyons, with Tom Ryther. The Twins won their first championship in 1987, and I want to play some audio. This was fun. You used to do a lot of little bits on Before the Weather, and this is one of my favorite ones here.
We're sitting here with our long faces. We don't get to go over to the Metrodome
to watch the game. I do happen to have, of course, the now world-famous Homer hanky, but I thought if there's another use for this.
Oh?
Yes, the Cardinals crying towel. I hope they get to use them. What can I say? It's we're probably in the least exciting spot in the world right now.
We are.
Yeah, I mean, in the studio, it's just nuts outside. I grew up in Brooklyn when the Dodgers were there and finally beat the Yankees, and this is more exciting than that, let me tell you. And the gloom of early this morning has given way to bright blue skies this afternoon.
I think one also had the Plato Cardinal Walt you smashed right on the air, and I'm trying to find that tape. It's around here somewhere.
I think it was in that newscast. This is the seventh game for which my wife had tickets, and I wasn't able to go. And anyways, I think I stood there right in the middle of the newscast and stopped and said, is there anybody actually watching this show right now?
I think you and Debbie are the only ones watching the monitor, I think, that was going on that day, I think.
No, I never heard from the news director, so he probably wasn't. So.
You know, I didn't realize this, but I guess when I had come back to Care 11, that Walt was sort of a competitor, although Walt was doing weekends.
Right, right.
You know, well, I miss seeing you. Doggone it, next time you're in town, why, we have to go out and have a cold one. That's Pepsi, that is.
That's right. We want a Pepsi. Yes, family show. Well,
absolutely, but you know, I would like to thank Tom for all the work he has done to putting together basically this archive online. I can go back and see what I used to look like. Boy, have I gone downhill! But I mean, you have some wonderful clips on there of Tom and Ron and myself and all sorts of other people, Dave Moore, and you know, it's really great, I think.
Well, I appreciate your confidence in sending me your tapes. We talked, and you said I have some tapes, and you sent me a box, then you sent me some more. So I appreciate your confidence, and it was great to go through those. And, you know, these tapes, and I think you can appreciate this, they have to be preserved. And to anyone listening, if they have videotapes of the ball games from 87 or 91 or some event, you know, make sure you keep those in a good spot and digitize those, because there's a lot of history to be seen on those.
You know, Walt, when I met Tom several years ago, he wanted to know if I had any old tapes. So I went out into my garage, and I had boxes and boxes, and I thought, who in the world cares? But Walt's exactly right. Tom, you have done a great job. He went through all of my tapes and dug up stuff of the things that not only did what Walt and Ron and I did, but he has done a good job and brings back a lot of great memories.
Well, tcmedianow.com, and Walt, give us your website again in case anyone wants to see what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, if you want to watch some great time-lapse video of clouds and things and other exciting stuff, it's Weather Video HD, all one word, weathervideohd.tv. That's another domain. You can also use .com, but weathervideohd.tv.
Great. And hopefully, Walt, next time you're in town, you'll come, and maybe we'll have you in studio, and we'll talk for another hour. We'll do part two.
Yeah, we could talk. We have plenty of more shenanigans we could talk about.
No, we had fun. I mean, like Walt is a brainiac, but he was fun. We truly did love working together, all of us.
That's great. Well, thank you, Walt, and thank you, Tom, for co-hosting today. Walt, take care, and we'll be in touch soon.
Thank you.
Well, Tom, you got to co-host today, Flashback Twin Cities.
Well, that was fun. Total.
I like to do surprises. Walt was surprised you were on today, so I think we'll have to let's get a list and get more people you work with, and we'll start calling them on Saturday mornings. James, do you learn some weather facts today?
I absolutely did. In fact, I very much liked our second segment there. That was pretty great.
And I think the one fact that you took away with today is news anchors may wear shorts on the air. This is the one fact I'm now going to have to take the image out of my mind tonight.
That was no joke, though, when you said, now I'm imagining all of this.
That's right.
Every single time I see the news.
This is Flashback Twin Cities, KLBB 1220.